Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
John always reads the obituaries, so he says, and then not finding his name listed among the deceased, decides he's still alive and well and therefore has to get up and go to work. Right. On the serious side, do you ever read the obituaries? Janice Hume, an assistant journalism professor, reads them. In fact, her doctoral dissertation is based on a study of obituaries over the past couple hundred years and how they reveal something of our values. In the 1800s, says Dr. Hume, obituaries focused on the character of the person and his relationships. But in the 20th century, the focus was on accomplishments, a person's wealth, his family, connections, and what the individual did as opposed to what he was. Is it not interesting that even our obituaries reflect a change in our value systems? What a person is becomes overshadowed by what he accomplishes. It isn't character, but accomplishment which our generation values. Take time, friend, to occasionally read the obituaries, and notice not only that they reflect a person's value system, but they also serve as a visual reminder that life, at its longest, is short. Yes, there is the old gentleman who lived to be 93. There is also the infant of 6 months, whose tiny heart gave out before he had a chance to carve his place in the world. Ages may be 40, 18, or 57. But behind every obituary is a story, and with few exceptions, it is the story of someone who never expected to become a statistic. Mark Twain, the American humorist, used to say that he wished he knew where he would die, because he'd never go near the place. But the fact is, none of us much expect to ever die, something evidenced by the fact that even today most people do not have a will. It isn't necessary to make one for a long time, they think, and then they put it off. Francois Fenelon, a 17th century mystic, observed, "We consider ourselves immortal, or at least as though we are going to live for centuries. Folly of the human spirit. Every day those who die soon follow those who are already dead. One about to leave on a journey," he said, "ought not to think himself far from the one who went only 2 days before. Life flows by like a flood," end quote. Yes, certainly everyone knows, at least theoretically, that a death certificate eventually follows every birth certificate. Yet we seldom think of making peace with God or how shall we enter into his presence. William Cullen Bryant talked about going not as a quarry slave chained to his dungeon, but as a son who is returning home to the Father. Grave markers also have a kind of fascination for me, whether it is one in Macau, where Robert Morrison is buried, or an old out-of-the-way mountain cemetery where a weathered inscription tells of a pioneer family who was killed as they made their way to a new frontier. It isn't that I have a morbid preoccupation with gravestones, but their inscriptions, whether they be in the catacombs outside Rome or in the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, tell a great deal about the values of the person who is so remembered. Take time to walk through a cemetery, or ponder the messages you find in the obituary column. They soberly remind us there is more to life than becoming a millionaire. "I am the resurrection and the life," said Jesus. "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." And that's good news, very good news.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.